4 and 5. So today, we are going to put to practice. Look at this scripture. It says, sing praise to the Lord, you saint of his. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Now, stay with me here. Now, I don't know how you read the scriptures, but God says that his expectation is that every time I remember him. You know, Jesus was, there's something about remembrance that seems to be so important to God, and we don't get it. A lot of times we don't get it. Jesus said to us, when you partake of this communion, do so in remembrance. So what is it about remembrance? What is it about remembering? And the Lord said, every time we remember his name, what should we do? Say, give thanks. This is how the tabernacle of David operates. Do you have, is it Message translation? Let's try Message or Living Bible. Same scripture. So you see that it's very possible for me to be the hindrance because I am not applying the values correctly on a chart. And then I'm wondering why this thing... Have you not tried, for those of us who use softwares, you watch a tutorial, you try to, and then you are not really getting it, right? This is it here. Put up that scripture. It says, all you saints, sing your hearts out. So it's not just your what's coming out from your mouth. You see, if it's really coming out, do you know how you, for those of you who like singing in the bathroom? There's just this song way back that you just remember, and there's a way you sing, all of a sudden it seems all the instruments are in the room with you, and you are just, somebody's wondering why you are screaming, like, mommy, what's the problem? But you know you have those moments, right? So that's what it means to sing out your heart. This is what God wants. All right? Put up that scripture. Say, thank him to his face. Give me the Living Bible if you do have it. So, bottom line here is that God is very much interested in the attitude. The way you do it. Not just what you are doing. And these are the things that are unique to us in the Christian faith. We cannot be passive about it. Oh, sing to him, you saints of his. Give thanks to what? So you look at the quality of that name. What is the quality of that name? Holiness. Go back to the King James Version, and let's take verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment, but his favor, come on, say for life. There is nothing anybody can do now to change God's mind about you. You have to let it sink. Because before you were born, he knew you. That means you knew him. You have an existence. There is a you God always knew. Not the one that has made all the mistakes now. There is a you that God had fellowship with. When you get to the world, these are the things I expect you to do. You suddenly came to this earth, and despite your parents pushing you towards medicine, you started finding interest in some other areas, and you think it was your rebellion. No, you had a conversation somewhere, and those conversations are manifesting as desires. He said his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for the night. Come on, say, but joy. Come on, say, but joy. When does it come?
In the morning.
So this message is titled, Joy Cometh in the Morning. Hallelujah. So please take your seats for a few minutes. And you can sit down, but don't sit on your mouth. So anytime you feel like shouting, please feel free to shout. You will not be obstructing me. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, this subject of... Now, let's consider very briefly the fifth verse of Psalm 30. So, I am interested in weeping may endure for the night. Now, what is so peculiar about the night? The night is when people are tired. The night seasons. This is when men are tired. Number two, this is when man can no longer walk. Our Lord Jesus said, I must do the works of him that I sent. He said, for the night cometh when no man can walk. So, he wasn't just talking about, he wasn't just speaking motivational. He was trying to tell you that there are seasons in life. The day may be very bright, but in the realm of the spirit, it has been tagged night. Which means, for whatever reason, transactions are low. There's something we call volatility in the market. Huh? So, for instance, there are four global markets that open every day. All right, so everything that is happening in the world economy is tied to four markets. We have the London market, which opens by 8 a.m. Nigerian time. Then we have the New York, which opens 2 p.m., which is their own 8 a.m., but 2 p.m. Nigerian time. So these are the most volatile markets. All right, the New York is so volatile, like you could make money, you could lose money. We also have the Australian market. We have the the Tokyo sessions. So, but you notice that the Tokyo sessions and the Australia, they are very quiet and they are very slow. All right, because most of their timing, when they do their transaction, most people are asleep. So you find it's just a bit draggy, you know. So it's something like what you are reading here. There's no spike. You are not seeing people come with a lot of money. Because there's no point. Why do you want to stay awake overnight for $1 million when you can get into the London market for 2 hours and come out with $7 million? So go and sleep. There are things that are peculiar to the night. The volatility. When you are trying to plant in the night, it becomes very difficult because you don't have the advantage of the sun. And that is what a lot of people are doing. They don't have the advantage of the sun. They don't have rain. They don't have anything. They are straining their eyes. And that is one of the ways you will know you are operating at night. You will keep straining your eyes because there's no light. Jesus said, when it is night, men sleep. So go and sleep. That is one side to it, too. All right. This is also the season for weeping. But the weeping here is not just in terms of shedding tears alone, but in terms of intercession. Are you with me? Intercession. That means there are certain things. Please hear me. Now, you heard me say that there are four markets and that the markets at night are usually very slow. Right? The Tokyo market session and the Australian session, they are usually very slow. Alright? I have people that are coming from those parts of the world
And most time we have to sit down and calculate when would be the best time to call me, because this is 9 a.m. They are most likely itching towards 6 p.m. now. So they are already in the 6 p.m. You are planning to go and see someone. So me, for those of you who have interest in physics, it's something that should impress you. That somebody right now on earth is already in your future. And that when God says that he knows the end from the beginning, it's because everything is like a straight line before him. You are the one who needs to get into tomorrow. He is already there. If Australians are already somewhere around 6 p.m. now, so where do you think God is? All right. Are you here? So, while men sleep and they weep at night, spirits are awake at night. Because that is the moment, that is their time, that is when you have spiritual volatility, that is when you have intensity, you have momentum. Which means there are spirits for which you cannot gain their attention in the afternoon. Yes, sir. Because they don't congregate around noise. And they know that on our own side of eternity, we are very noisy. We go about, we rush to work. Whatever you see in the daytime is a product of decisions made at the night times. There are some of you that watch, stay on Instagram till 3 a.m. They have decided the day for you already. Some of your folks who tell you, you know, I'm just so tired. When you ask them, it's nothing, it's Instagram. Well, my counsel to you is, a few years ago, in this country, all over the world, there was something called Yahoo. Yahoo Mail. We used to pay the cafes to go and be reading mails from in our junk folder. Then you pay for 30 minutes or 1 hour, and you are put on a timer. The man who runs that cafe never thought a day would come, he would be obsolete. Then you going to ring junk mail. And you know, some I used to get mails like, oh, I won $1 million, click this link. I used to wonder like, that this must be God. I didn't know anything about 419 or all this. So for me, I even call my friend US. I say, you have to help me, that this money is real. That this is. Person like, pastor, I say, no. Say, let me show you the mail. Let me for my innocent ignoramus self didn't know that there was such a thing. Like, why would somebody send me an email? How did you get my email? It must be real. Thank God. Because even then, I didn't have a bank account. So, no matter, you can't scam me. You can't scam a man that cannot be scammed. I have nothing. Even if you hack my email, you will not use it. I only reply to emails of people who I don't know. They send me mail. Oh, hi, we have this thing. I will not respond. Because there's nothing to do. There's no light at all. So just be responding to ourselves. Be deceiving ourselves. I'll go and say, I just went to browse. Just respond to a few emails. Who is sending you email? Okay, who is sending you email? You better calm down. In the day, when it is broad daylight like this, I want you to know that the spiritual realm, they observe their decisions. The things they have thought about overnight. That is when they see the effect. So what that means is that I can strategically begin to seek the Lord at certain times and I'll get more traction because of momentum. The word is momentum. You know, I talked about the New York market and I talked about the Australian market. So one has momentum and the other is just sluggish. That does not suggest that God cannot hear your prayer at any time. But I want you to understand that when the scripture says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning, the word but is significant because what it suggests is that somebody has done something. Put up that scripture.
He said, weeping may endure. That means when I begin to seek the Lord in a particular way. For instance, I have stayed long enough to know that open doors don't just open. Did you hear me? The doors that will make you relevant for the next 20 years, 50 years, it's not calculation. God himself is the one that opens those doors. It's good to go to school and do all those things. Those things, and you know me, if you refuse to go to school or learn a skill, we can never be friends because you'll be a problem to me. But I am here to tell you, the main doors, the Bible talks about time and chance that happens to them all, which means that even after you have done everything, you will have one opportunity. That opportunity will just coincide with a particular timing. If you take that opportunity blindly, you are made. If you delay and that door shuts, you go back and wait for another 10 years if you are lucky. Because now, instead of jumping on a market that is moving and is willing to carry you like the waves, you will now have to go and queue like Australian market, taking one day at a time. I remember when I first came into the prophetic, I was talking to Pastor Ayo, and I was asking that, how does this thing really work? And Pastor Ayo said to me, you know, many years ago, he said, look out for the waves. He said the prophetic works with waves. It's like the waves upon the ocean. He said to me, the reason why we insist on worship, is because worship has the capacity to create waves in the waters. So when you find the waves and you jump on it, it carries you. It just takes you. You prophesy effortlessly. So this joy that comes in the morning is what we are interested in this morning, today. Listen to me. There is something about joy that you must know. Let me read, I think it's Zephaniah 3:17. Some of you have not read. Now look at Zephaniah 3:17. Now, when there's something else I want you to observe here. In Psalms chapter 30, the scripture says, weeping we endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. And I just told you, I say for joy to come, somebody did something. Even though you may wake up more sorrowful. So, agreements have been reached. Sacrifices have been offered. So, joy is a warfare instrument. Joy is an indicator of the direction of the market. Joy is one of the strongest confirmations you need to tell you what God is about to do or what God has approved. Please pay attention. Joy is not happiness. Joy is not you telling yourself, I'm blessed, I'm fulfilled, nobody can take my joy. We don't care. Alright, we don't care. You can put it on WhatsApp. We don't care. Most of the people who put that in are depressed. They are trying to convince themselves that they are going to be happy. My joy is not my life is not in the hands of any man. God is my source. Madam, if you continue like this, you will be poor. Go and look for something to do. Posting, God doesn't read WhatsApp message. Oh. God doesn't read WhatsApp messages. He doesn't have a WhatsApp line. All right. It's good to post and make yourself happy, but it's just know it's for you. Amen. There's someone that I have the lady's number. First thing in the morning, she'll post grateful, upward and grateful, something, I don't know, something like that.
from the next post. From the next post. It's Azonto, is this, is that. You'll just be seeing different things that has no bearing with all the Big Brother Nigeria update is on that place you sit. Everything. But when this person gets up in the morning, the first thing. So I hope I'm grateful. I'm sure God must be very, must find her very intriguing. Unfortunately, God is a king. And there's a way he wants to be served. He said to us, when you come before my presence, you come with singing, come with thanksgiving. And when you are coming into our court where decisions are going to be made, come with praise. Your case may be very bad, but when you come before him with praise, he looks at you. With all what you are dealing with, you still have a song. Can I have a file? And he opens it. That you are going through a problem that is so bad does not give you the right to be depressed and angry at God. Because there are many Christians, some of them are here now. Whenever they have a challenge, it is God that suffers. If somebody breaks their heart, it's God that will suffer for it. In quote, you know what I'm talking about. They won't pray. They won't give. They won't help. They will just ignore God like God is the one that told them to go into that relationship. My sister, since people have been getting angry at God, I won't go to church this morning. I'm angry. Haven't you seen very angry people who still went to work on Monday? They had a very bad 1 week of last week at the office. They got queries. Haven't you been in the office that for 2 weeks back to back, one issue after, who knows what I'm talking about? Like, every day one problem. I know what I'm saying. While I'm trying to fix the query that has been sent from somewhere, then my staff will come here and say, or two of them will say they can't come to work. Then you will see, ODD supervisor, I will not go behind the cubicle. I will be the one posting the transactions, then going to my desk to authorize. The management, oh goodness, if the bank ever knew that was what I did, I would be fired on the spot. You cannot be the inputter and authorizer at the same time. But there's no staff. This guy just wakes up and says, I have headache. That's why for some of us who work with women, he says, we must hear God. And I'm not being biased, I'm just me. You just have headache, you send me a text. Look, text has no emotions. Show up. I went to my boss one day and I said, I'm sick. I did like this. I say, it's as if my head wants to fall down. I don't want to come to work tomorrow. And you won't believe it. Like, I actually went to my boss. I don't want to come to work tomorrow. Forget all those things I appreciate. I don't want to come to work. I'm feeling sick. My boy just looked at me. Then he told me to come close. He pulled, on your desk, you have drawers, eh? He put the third drawer. He just pulled it. I saw a living, before God a man, a pharmacy inside the third drawer. That drawer was arranged like a pharmacy. Paracetamol here, malaria here, eye block. I'm telling you to go. The man now said, Segbenga. Say, look in here. Say, which drug do you need? Say, you are not the only one that is sick. Have you graduated to the point where you dedicate one drawer on your desk meant for files, for drugs? I said, no. Say, you are not sick. Go back to your... I make sure you are around tomorrow. But if it's a woman, you know, he can tell me that because I'm a guy. If he tries a woman, damn, he may be fired. Because the moment the guy starts crying and saying, oh, God doesn't like me, HR will hear, like, oh, you should have emotional intelligence. You should say all those things. So please, Biko, I only want to work with people who can have headache and show up. When I interview you, I will ask you, if you have headache, do you go to work? Say yes, okay, you get the job now. Okay, on a lighter note. Because some people now, that's the only thing they hate. They're already hating me right now. I said to you that joy is a strong indicator. When you enter into the place of prayer and you begin to seek God, one of the things you are looking for is what? Joy. Please pay attention. These people don't understand the science of prayers. They will come to you and say, Pastor, I've prayed. Did you find the indicator? Did God give you one major indicator to suggest that he has heard? Don't forget that when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, Daniel slept. It was the king that could not sleep. The king had guards, security. Daniel was in the midst of lions. Not one, though. Daniel later told us that the Lord sent an angel. Oh, are you here now? Do you know the angel could jolly well be there? Daniel would not see it. He would not see the angel. But the angel would take care of, would sort the lions. They won't be able to touch him. What many of you didn't know was that in your moment of trial, the Lord sent angels. That's why I say, I don't know. I can't really. My pastor, when I was in the world, everything was working for me. So I became a Christian and I joined the prayer unit. That pastor, I've heard that. Man, have you not heard this? People say because since they became Christian, they're having problem. Because now you're a threat. People have told me, Pastor, I want to go back to the world. I don't want to be anybody's enemy. Whether devil or God, I don't, just leave me. Since I became a Christian, I started having issues with my marriage. I started, like the woman I was telling to come to church, and she told me, do you want to scatter my marriage? Port Harcourt, hot Port Harcourt babe. She said, do you want to scatter my marriage? What's your problem? Why would you invite me to church? Then I looked at her very well. You are not educated, but you are married to a man, a white man, who is in Nigeria for oil and gas, offshore, onshore. This guy is very exposed, very rich, very educated. You are not educated, can't even write your own name with a pen. But you have this man under your fingers. There seems to be some transactions that have happened in the night. So why you sit there and say, whatever will be. Oh, destinies have been exchanged already. Say, be baptized in the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues. Say, if God wants me to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, he will feed me. Oh. Joy will come in the morning, but there is a but. That means there are certain conditions that must be met according to Psalm 30 verse 5 to activate that but. If you don't know, oh goodness, are you still here?
Yes, sir.
If you don't know what you need to do in your night season, in your moment, and please, some solutions are tailor-made. They are for you. It is not wise for me to say, oh, because I did this, I fasted for 21 days, then you must fast for. Some, yours may be 79. Wow. Yours may just be a night of praise. I was listening to Pastor Kwaju some years ago, and he just made a statement. And, you know, it just made a lot of sense. But you said that whenever he has very major problems, he will just wake up at night, 12 midnight, and he will start laughing. Like a jackalo. You know the way jackals laugh? Okay, go and watch Animal Planet. Yeah, 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 yeah. If you live with him in the house, you will say, it's like this man is untendy. He has something that he's doing that people don't know that gives him the anointing. He said he found out this thing in Psalms chapter 1. Was it Psalms chapter 1? Chapter 2, where the scripture said, God said, when he said, I will laugh. He that sits in heaven will laugh. See, that's where he found it. So anytime he has a problem that is overwhelming him, he said he will wake up, sit down, put water in front of him, and start laughing. He said he will start by faith. Then it will become very intense. It will be very intense. He said at some point, he will know in his knower. He said he didn't pray. He will just be laughing. Like a madman. He will just be laughing. He said every single time he woke up the next morning, the problem was solved. So some situations, some solutions have to be tailor-made. Some revelations are your revelation. My father-in-law has a very strong, and he has been here before, he has a very strong revelation in this area I'm teaching about praise. There are stories here and here, like, if you hear him talk about his victories, 9 out of 10 times, they are connected to praise. This man got born again very late in his life, around 50 or so. So he was trying to catch up. There was a day he came here and he was praying for everybody and he was quoting from the book of Isaiah without reading the scriptures. He had memorized it, that chapter, verse by verse, he was reading it. The media guys could not catch up. So when you have all these excuses about why your life is waiting, I want you to know that the weeping endure for the night. It is not God's plan for this weeping to go into the morning. But if you don't know, you see there's a but there. If you don't know what you need to do, you may be importing somebody's technique or technology. Whatever somebody is telling you is just to give you an idea. But when you go to God, God must give you some tailor-made strategy. And there will be your own secret. Huh? That will be your own secret. Everybody may be doing it, but there's a way that thing works for you in a way that is unexplainable. Give me Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst, the mighty. Give me King James. King James gets it better in some of these revelations. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is what?
Mighty.
No, it's not mighty. It's mighty. Might. It's an emphasis there. It's might. He will save. He will rejoice. Now, hold on. Look at your screen. Look at God's strategy for victory. Even for him. Over you. He will rejoice. Over you. With what? Hello? Hold on. You are not getting it. The Lord thy God in the midst of you is what? He will what? The word save, does it speak to the fact that you need deliverance? Does it speak to the fact that there's a problem? That there's a warfare that is going on? And God's strategy is to shout over you. Are you seeing it? You need to see it. You have not seen it. This is God's own strategy. He said, I, the Lord, I am in your midst and I am mighty and I will save you. And how will I do it? I will rejoice over you. With what?
Joy.
Excuse me, your God is a dancing God. Your God is a singing God. Oh, you are not getting it. After the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, it was, what's his name? Miriam, that rose up with a prophetic song and she began to sing. She responded to this thing. You see, many times after warfare, people become weary. So you need prophetic songs to renew and restore you. That was where we got the song. You are glorious in holiness. I'm fearful in praises. Doing wonders. Hallelujah. That song came out from the prophetic ministration of Miriam. Look at that scripture. He said he will rejoice over you with water. With joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy
over you with what?
Singing.
Your God is a singing God. You can't hold back. Oh. I'm not talking about entertainment. I'm talking about a strategy for a new day. How to seek it, no matter how bad the situation is. I was talking to a lady who got married at 19, became a widow at 21. Have you heard that one before? She got married at 19, became a widow at 21. You don't see that. You don't, even if somebody is your enemy, you can't imagine that somebody will get married and the marriage, she told me, said the marriage, I only enjoyed the marriage for 6 months, 8 months. Because the husband we lost our family in the south, and there was a dispute, and he was attacked spiritually. The fact that the guy lived in the UK was not strong enough to save him. Yeah, my dad bought this A class of lands. You know, I just want to come to an understanding. You know, I know they are not documented. You are speaking grammar. This is Africa. Here we use Bante. We use Magun. We use different things here. We don't care about how educated you are. Many of the people you call my bestie for life, their parents are witches and warlocks. There's a woman in Oworo here that is a priestess of the Osun River, of the Osun deity. But she goes to the most popular Pentecostal church in Nigeria and Africa, where she sits and she sees visions for people because the pastor cannot see vision. When people have problem, they'll come and meet Mama. Mama will say, okay, take salt, take this thing, mix it at night. Mama, people like Mama because they stop going to the pastor because the pastor only preaches about joy. But they like Mama. If Mama tells you, go and mix this and this, they will see the result. It was the son who knew that his mom was a witch. The old church did not know. This boy, because of the activity of that deity, could not go to school for many years. He didn't get into university until he was in his 30s. The battle was so intense. Some of you are so much in love, you can't even see that there are warlocks around you. Would you, as difficult as your mom may be or your dad, would you think any of them would be? Now, the same spirit came upon the first daughter, because that daughter was supposed to inherit the deity, and the girl ran mad. The only time she's sane, normal, is when she's prophesying by that spirit. The third child ran away to Ghana, that he doesn't want to have anything to do with the family. He ran away. Where he was, say he's on the, roaming on the street, but he can't come home. But the mother is here, seeing vision for people. So when you make excuses and you tell yourself it doesn't matter, Satan is laughing. God is wondering, who is the pastor that is teaching this one? This boy came to this church, sat here. Now I tell you, this area has volatility. Yes, sir. He sat here. I was meeting him for the first time. He ran from Ogun State. You know, some of you, you just throw to church this morning. But when something is wrong, pursuing you, you will leave your house as early as 5 a.m. and you start running to Lagos. See, I think I saw the signboard. He came, was looking. Went on Facebook, check. I think this is the church. Came in. He went, he saw me. He sat down. And what was the problem? He had a vision, and the Lord warned him, don't go to your mother's house again. That's tough. It's tough. Even me as a pastor, I can't tell you that one. But God can tell you. Because God is not afraid of your mother. Me, I'm afraid of your mother. God told our brother, if you want to be married in this life, you must marry on campus. The boy married as a 200 level student without a job. Because by then he was already itching towards 40. Yes. You've not seen battle. You think you have battle?
This one is live, but he's alive. If I text him now, he will stand up and start coming. He sat here. It's somewhere. After the service, he said, God told me to come and see. I said, I'm going now to the second service. He said, follow me. Went to Bagada Church. I didn't know him. I just told him to enter the car. And we drove there. So what happened was that his mom suddenly called him. Whether with charm or I don't know how the mom spoke to him that morning. Just said, start coming. Come to Woro. And the boy wore his shoes. Told his wife, I'm coming. Left Ogun State. Started coming to Woro. The moment the mom saw him, the mom just said, my son, how are you? Just tapped him. It looked like a casual touch. He said, but he felt shock waves through his body. There are people that even if Satan himself touches them, they will not feel anything because their spiritual antenna is, they've broken it. they don't have MTN data, network, Airtel. They are on the desert. So at least your network should be able to, at least let the phone ring. Then you'll be saying, hello, hello, I can't hear. This one, out of coverage area. The brother said the moment the mother touched him, my son, sit down. Let me give you food. And God told him, you must not see her. You must not eat her food. Some people think that because God said something 5 years ago, he has changed his mind. Because of AI. One day that he broke that instruction. He said he felt shock waves. He felt shock waves in his body. This is real, you know. He said when he called his wife and he said, something has happened to me. He called his wife and said, something has happened. He said, I feel empty inside. I feel empty inside. He said by the time he got home, he could not even be intimate with his wife again. By the time he got home that day, he could not be intimate. They started praying. So while they were praying, God said, go and look for a man. His name is Gbenga Shafe. That's how he found himself here. He said, God did not tell him you are free. God did not tell him you are delivered. God just said, go and look for this person. The same way the angel told Cornelius, go and look for Peter. Can you imagine the angel came from heaven and he could not even say, give your life to Christ. The angel still directed him to another bus stop. Meanwhile, you believe that you and God, you are 5 and 6. Meanwhile, look at all the problems around you. Abraham came, he sat here. When he finished telling me his story, I said, so your mom is a witch now. I said, let me move small. I don't know which powers, how many powers you have. Since your mom is a witch and priestess, I don't know how many powers you have. So let me move away. The guy was like, he was in tears. You see a man with gray hair in tears. So by the time I wanted to pray for him, I saw people around the Bagada Church trying to arrange the place, cleaning, doing something. Some people are cleaning. And I said, let me pray for you. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus. I just said, whoa, 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 whoa. Like a werewolf. Whoa, whoa. I just moved my head. I mean, don't bite me. My anointing, I don't have the antidote for this one. Because it will be a demonic bite. By the time Pastor came around and saw, the person that was even standing beside me, I don't know where he disappeared to. Or it was Osed that now came and stood behind the brother. He raised his head like a werewolf to the sky and started barking for like 10 minutes, barking. I just sat down, picked my chair. Me, I don't have energy. I've been preaching since morning. I sat down. I looked at my watch. You have 7 minutes to show yourself. After that, you go. Woo! I said, Eshe, you've gone, Abby. I said, bro, check your body now. The brother wanted to hug me. I told you, don't throw me. Malumi mole. I have anointing for deliverance, but this royal rumble you are about to start, I may not be able to survive it. So just drop me. The next Sunday, the brother was here with his wife. Listen to me. Destinies can be exchanged in the night. I am not saying that everybody who eats at night is going to have problems. No. Because some of you, the extra plate you asked for and they did not give you, you ate it in your dream. Eating in your dream may not always mean that there's something wrong. But destinies have been exchanged through food. Don't forget, Esau and Jacob, destinies were exchanged amongst them. Because of what? Because of what? So, food is an exchange commodity. Oh. Food is an exchange commodity that can be used because people gather around food. Wherever there's food, there's pleasure. People are relaxed. Huh? So, you don't eat because they are serving food. You eat because the Lord has given, especially if you didn't cook that food. I'm not asking you to be suspicious. I'm just trying to tell you how to reduce your warfare. Especially if you are not very powerful spiritually. You like eating. Personally, I don't eat at burial ceremonies. Even my own dad, I didn't eat at his burial ceremony. All right. So it's not personal. All right, it's just me. It's not in the Bible. Eh? It's not in the Bible. So you must know what is compatible with your destiny. Because what we are trying to say here is that if God has a strategy for your deliverance, which means while you are praying and praising God here, and God says, start thanking me for the deliverance and for the breakthrough, back end in the realm of the spirit, give me Zephaniah 3:17. What is God doing? What God is also doing is that he is also rejoicing over you with joy. So when God commands a particular response from you, it is because that is also what heaven is doing now. The problem is that many of us will now say, oh, we are praising God. But the way we are praising God is not matching the energy of heaven. When I study the scripture, I try to look at the way angels talk. I look at where Jesus has spoken or where God spoke. See the way they talk, there's a particular energy. You see an angel that came to Joshua, when the Lord said to them, you are going to take Jericho, right? And they marched to Jericho. Huh? They didn't know the strategy. They marched to Jericho. But while they were waiting, our brother saw an angel or a military officer afar off. And he charged towards that man. And he said, are you for us or against us? I would have expected the angel to have said, I'm on your side. I am from the Lord of hosts. I'm from the King of kings and ancient of this. Soldiers don't patronize. That angel was in the military division. So he didn't have time for tete-a-tete. He simply told the brother, I am not on your side. The ground you are now standing on is holy. Take off your shoes. The first time God spoke like that was to Moses. So this particular angelic being, they will not relate with you. Huh? If your feet is stained with dust, they will not relate with you if you have any other support system. You know what your shoes do is that they protect your feet from the heat and from thorns. This angel says, if you are standing with us, you want us to help, you must not have any other thing that will protect you in case God fails. Now, that's a difficult place to be. The moment he took off his shoes and knelt there, that story ended there. Did you notice? That scene ended there. The only thing we saw was that Joshua returned and said, we are going to march around 7 times. So the angel, upon the compliance of our brother, delivered heaven's strategy for the battle after Joshua complied. I told you, but joy cometh in the morning means that between the weeping and the joy, there are certain things that will be required. In the case of our brother, Joshua, he was required to take off his shoes, which has very strong spiritual implications. So, for you to be able to get to this point, the ability to discern what the Lord is saying to you without emotions, very critical. Don't forget that God's strategy is to get you to do the same thing that they are also doing in heaven. Do not forget that when the Lord was giving the specifications for the temple, Moses, he told him, make sure that you obey and follow this measurement. Why? Because there is the true temple in the heavenlies. That God, what God did was he gave them the measurement, the same measurement, and said, follow this, you must not deviate from it. If you deviate, my glory will not come. So how do we begin to play around the corridors of joy? The first requirement here is faith. Come on, say faith. Now there are a few other scriptures, but I don't know. If we have the opportunity, we'll go through them in the second service. Faith is the first requirement for joy, because when the Lord will have you respond in joy to him, you may not feel like it. Now, there was something I was talking about, a lady that I said got married and the husband died within 2 years, right? She has children. But she said to me, say, do you know that? Please hear what she's saying. I have on my hands the list of men who are telling me they don't want a relationship, they want marriage now. I know most of you guys can't deal with women at that level. But this lady is in a world of her own. Huh? She had to now send herself to the university after the man died. Alright? Today she's trying to find her feet. But in spite of all the challenges, said there are men lined out in front of her door, not asking for a relationship, asking for marriage. And she keeps wondering, can't you see me? Why are you coming to me? They say it doesn't matter. They come, they make friends with her children so that they can convince her that they are the right candidates. They keep coming and going, and she has not made up her mind. And she's in her late 30s. I am trying to tell you that when you break through into a season of joy, everything that was supposed to work against you, everything that was supposed to be a consideration for why people should not move close to you, now becomes even a support system for the breakthrough. Are you here now? So it is not what you did or what did not do. I said if we can secure this door of joy and it opens, everything that was supposed to go against you now becomes a pointer. It becomes a support system. So you are not disadvantaged. What you need is this door to open. What you need is this door of joy. Come on. What I need is this door of joy. This door of joy. If I am able to secure it between the weeping men endure for the night and the joy that comes in the morning, there's something that will happen in between. That is what I first refer to as faith. Now, the thing about faith is that faith starts first of all as a simple belief in the heart. Then faith takes a step further by taking concrete steps. Because faith itself is an action word. So, based on my faith, based on what I have believed, I will now say, And what I normally tell people is, in that moment of prayer, have your pen beside you. Whatever act of good work that comes to your mind in that moment, write it down. I didn't say remember, write it down. Because you'll be forget when you leave that place. Write it down. That is, Pastor Tokwe, I'm sorry. I want to say something. Pastor Tokwe, I'm sorry. In your ministry, sir, if I bring my file and I say, I have an application here at your ministries, But somebody put the file under the carpet. The moment I come and I say, ah, who is the DG? Who is the Kinikon? What the manager's here, the permanent secretary? And then I put like a, I bring a brown envelope. I staple it. I seal it. It's neat. It's very neat. It looks like a cloth, like a new shirt. But when you open it, you just find $10,000. Eh? Then the man will say, you have something here. You have, where is his file? I know your face is even familiar. Say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. We met at the other symposium. Say, hey, you greeted me. Say, lie. They will bring the, all of a sudden, the file will come out. Say, oh, yeah, Tunde is not around. Call Funke. Now, go to the other file. Let them stamp this thing. Please, hear me. I did not say go and bribe. I said, when I stand before God, I don't know. When I stand before God and I'm seeking Him, you know, I am in between the night and the morning. He says, I'm talking about a spiritual state. I'm not just talking about the time on the clock now. Somehow, one of the ways you will know you are close to the morning is that there will be an agitation. You know that something is coming. You are close to something, but you can't put your finger on it, but you feel it is close. That is the time to enter into the closet. Jesus said there are prayers that are called the prayers of the closet. You enter into the closet and begin to offer spiritual sacrifice. The scripture says one of the sacrifices you can put before God is the lifting of your hands. The scripture says, let the lifting of my hands be as the evening sacrifice. In the Old Testament, there was a particular sacrifice that had to be brought to the Lord in the evenings that God always loved to perceive the aroma. And in the New Testament, Paul said, that has been done away with. So when I stand before God and the Lord counts it as the equivalent of the evening sacrifice. When I stand before Him with my hands stretched out to Him. For whatever reason, God likes it. For whatever reason, it may look stupid. But when you stand before God with your hands stretched out, God likes it. It reminds Him of something that He once spoke to the Israelites. So when I go into His presence and I'm praying, I am waiting. I have taken the first decision to believe. Now I am waiting for what James refers to as my what? My good works. Because James was speaking and he said that show me your faith without your works. Which means if I truly say I have found faith, now I must have a token. When we are joining people on their wedding day, we now say, well, what is the token by which they are being joined? Then somebody presents the wedding rings, right? So there is something that is called tokens. There are things that are referred to as tokens. There are things that maybe we are besties. We may decide that, oh, there's a particular shirt. We'll ask a designer to sew this. And we will be the only two who have that kind of design. But it is the token. It's something that reminds us of what is between us that others may not even know about. If, for instance, I was going through a particular problem or I was faced with a life or death situation and nobody came to my rescue and she did. Huh? She did. What people don't know is that unusual acts of kindness can become the catalyst for covenant. Amen. Covenant. Then I will go to my wife and I will say to her, any day you see Loretta, she can sleep in this house. She is not an outsider again. She's now a part of this family. Why? She saw me in a state where I probably would have been put to shame. I probably could have died. Maybe I was sick and I did not have any money. She covered that shame. Maybe my wife was not in the country. She covered that shame and went the extra mile and most likely emptied her account. So from that day, it will not go. No. It will not go. We will not let it pass like that. That's why you find that there are people that no matter what you do to them in the office, your boss cannot touch them. Your boss cannot touch them. Because you close and go home at 5. They know the boss's wife. They know the children's birthdays. And they do weekend. They go to his house weekend. They help him out. They make his life easy. So, Oga, you will report forever and ever. Nothing will happen to this one.
It's sentimental. It's not that it is fair, but it's sentimental. Toshi 1 year, it's sentimental. When you stand before God and you begin to believe, it starts first of all as a state of heart. But I will stay there long enough until the Lord now says, go and buy a phone for this sister. The moment I receive an instruction that comes as a good work, aha, we are finally making progress. Please, are you with me? I don't know if somebody is hearing me. Because some people got to the place of believing and they stopped. But James said, show me your faith without your word. He said, no, it will not be received in the realm of the spirit. This is the in-between of weeping may endure for the night. And what? Joy cometh in the morning. That, but the reason why they didn't give any specific recommendation is because it will differ from person to person. That's why in some churches that I used to attend some years ago, the best time to give offering is during praise worship. If you've been to some churches, during praise worship, you will see offering bowls at the altar. If you are, as you are getting blessed, you see that that offering has more weight because it is an expression of how you just want to worship God. For God so loved the world that he gave. So that was the highest form of worship, is expressed in giving. So it's, if you look through scriptures, you will find that every time Abraham raised an altar to God, they will say, sacrifice on it. This is not thou shalt. This is what you will have to do, and the recommendations will differ from person to person. There was a woman that was so poor, but she had only one coin, and that was enough for Jesus. That was enough for Jesus. Jesus didn't ask her to bring a ram. Just that one coin. There was some other lady, she had just two slices of bread left. For Christ's sake, I know you don't value those things, but God looked at it. Oh, you are willing to give it to my servant. Oh, you are a fool. You are a fool. But the foolishness of this world will now become the wisdom of the Lord distilled. So you will live better than the king. During this season of famine, you will live. The reason the woman lived better than the king was not because she had a degree. Listen to me, when God decides to bless you, it will not be fair. God, it's time, it's 9:45. I want you to bless God in 1 minute. I want you to bless God in 1 minute. Give him glory right now. Give him glory right now. Give him glory right now. Thank him for what he's putting, this spiritual resource that he's putting in your hands right now. Hallelujah. Bless him, bless him, bless him, bless him, bless him. Bless him, bless him, bless him. Bless him, bless him, bless him. When I receive the word of the Lord, my first response is to rejoice. Is to rejoice, is to rejoice, is to rejoice. Teaching us your ways, teaching us your truth, showing us the way we must go, helping us to prosper in our souls, Lamb of God. Teaching us your ways, teaching us your